Blog Talk Radio.
At Firefly Willows, LIVE, we're working hard to be your trusted source for fun, enlightening, and heart-centered information and community. And we're passionate about the art of transformative media, the new leading edge of communication in our highly connected, media-rich world. If you're passionate about facilitating change, and you have gifts or ideas you'd like to share, come join us, host a show, or be a guest, or connect us to an amazing speaker or teacher whose message is too good to miss. There's always room for courageous, knowledgeable changemakers, inspired artists, and new ideas. Let us know you're interested. Send an email to info@fireflywillows.com. We're Firefly Willows, LIVE, helping you find and shine your inner light. Firefly Willows, LIVE presents What's Your Prescription for Balance? Featuring your hosts, Mildred Lynn McDonald and Dr. Glenna Calder.
This is Mildred Lynn McDonald, and I'm your co-host for What's Your Prescription for Balance, live from Sebastopol, California. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We also hope to inspire you with leading trends and best practices of holistic living, alternative medicine, and life coaching, with some laughter thrown in for fun. In a few minutes, I'll be joining my co-host, Dr. Glenna, in Halifax, Nova Scotia. Then we'll beam over to Fall River to chat with our special guest, Jack McNeil, a certified coach and self-leadership expert for solopreneurs. In today's episode, Jack will take us on a journey to help identify the two powerful inner voices that compete for our attention and drive our ambitions on life's road. With Jack's expert guidance, we'll learn how to recognize and manage our inner critic voice while nurturing and honoring the voice of our wise future self. We'll also discuss strategies that you can use to move out of your safety zone and into a more fulfilling version of you. So please, mark your calendars and join your hosts, Dr. Glenna, and myself, Mildred Lynn McDonald, the first Thursday of every month at 3:30 Pacific. And for those of you on the East Coast, 7:30 p.m. Atlantic Standard. And now, let's head over to the East Coast of Canada to welcome my co-host, Dr. Glenna, and our very special guest, Jack McNeil. Hello, Glenna, and hello, Jack.
Hi.
Jack, welcome to the show today, and I want to know what the weather is like in Fall River. And then I'm going to ask you, Glenna.
It's gorgeous here. We've got sun shining and pretty warm temperatures, so it's a lovely day.
And how about Halifax?
Halifax is the same, if you can believe it.
You're not very far away from each other, are you?
No.
No, maybe about 15 minutes. We can have different weather in Halifax than Fall River because Halifax is a little closer to the ocean, so sometimes a little foggier there.
You know, Jack, we're going to jump right in here because I know that you have so much wonderful information to share with our listeners. It makes you think how this particular concept is showing up in your own life. I think Glenna probably feels the same way.
I'm going to jump right in with my first question because I'm really curious to hear your opinion and to hear some tips. What is an inner critic, and how could we get better at identifying it?
I'm just kind of laughing to myself here because whenever we do something that's kind of new, so getting on this call with you guys, I'm sitting there, I'm waiting to get on, and I could just hear the dialogue in my own mind, my own inner critic saying to me, you're going to forget everything, or you really don't know what you're talking about, and what if they ask you a question you don't have an answer? So all of this kind of angst is building, and I'm just kind of chuckling because here I am today to talk about inner critic. So we all have an inner critic, and it's really this inner voice of doubt that's within us. And anytime we're thinking about doing something that might be important, that might have a little bit of uncertainty or risk, that might put us in a place of being more vulnerable or being judged by other people, we can really trigger that inner critic within us. And it often says things like, you should, you shouldn't, you're too this, you're too that, it's too late, you don't have enough time, you don't have enough money, maybe someday, or the most popular way our inner critic talks to us, and something that it says to almost everybody, is who do you think you are to whatever it is that we're thinking about doing? And that inner voice of doubt, that inner critic, is really there as a place of protection. It's there to fiercely protect us from experiencing any pain or discomfort or disappointment or outside criticisms. And so at all costs, it's trying to natter at us and say things to us to keep us very safe and very in the status quo. So that's really kind of the overall definition of what the inner critic is and what it can sound like for people.
Do you have any tips for someone who has a hard time discerning?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important to start thinking about paying attention to our inner dialogue, how we talk to ourselves. So, you know, for women, sometimes when we're getting up in the morning and we're getting dressed and we're putting on clothes, if our inner critic's saying, oh my gosh, you're so fat, like, what are you thinking? You can't wear that. That's going to look silly, or you need to put more makeup on, or people are going to think this. And we start to listen to our inner dialogue and how we're actually, the messages, the perspectives, the beliefs that we're holding and the things that we're telling ourselves and how that's playing out in our mind, how that inner self-dialogue is happening and unfolding. To really discern that by paying attention, listening to how we self-talk and how we, you know, the voice that's there all the time, whether it's encouraging to us or whether it's actually creating some doubt or negative feelings about who we are or what we can do.
I bet it would be interesting to have a few lines to say back to your inner critic.
I think it's really important once we identify this sort of pattern of self-talk and we're noticing that, gosh, I'm always saying this to myself, or I believe I'm not ready yet. I keep telling myself that I'm not ready yet. And take a little bit of a step back. What we want to do is create a different persona. Know that that inner critic is not all of us. It's just this one little voice that we can choose to listen to or not. The biggest thing here is to realize that we have choice. We can notice that inner critic and really call it out. Say, aha, I heard you, inner critic. I know what you're up to. I know you're trying to protect me, but I've got a plan. I've got an idea. I have a dream. I have something that I really want to do that's really important to me. I know there's lots of uncertainty here, but I'm going for it. I've got this. And just really identifying it, calling it out, and then moving past it. Because the inner critic is never really in front of us. It's never really in our way. It's just that sort of annoying voice trying to hold us back. It's kind of like that kind of ugly troll that's sitting in front of that beautiful place of fulfillment. And we're just going to say, I see you, troll, and I'm going to walk around you. Letting the inner critic know that you hear it and that you're choosing not to let it direct your actions.
Jack, what would be an example of a comment that your inner critic may make, and then another comment that you could make to counteract that or be an antidote to it, to bring you to a healthier place?
Well, the inner critic might jump out and say, you're not ready. Who do you think you are to do this? Or this idea popped into my head. So, oh my gosh, I really want to run a marathon. I've never done anything like this before. I've never even run a 5K. That's so huge. Who do I think I am to even consider that? And what you can do is just say, you know what? I can do this. I can work backwards. I can think of a game plan. I can start small. I can look at what inner resources I have, what support systems I can put into place, where I can get more training, where I can learn about this, and really to put some actions that are positive in place and not let the inner critic keep you small from doing what you really want to do.
So you can almost use the inner critic as a tool?
It's kind of like that game of hot and cold. You can play with kids, so there's something in the room, and as they get closer to it, you can say warmer, warmer, until they're actually there. Well, the inner critic kind of serves that purpose. Wherever there's really beautiful resonance and something that's really important for us to do in our lives that would bring more fulfillment and aliveness, that's when the inner critic is going to be the loudest. That's when it's going to be the most active and the most full of anxiety, really wanting to keep you where you are. And so when we notice that the inner critic is really fired up, that's a gorgeous sign to say, oh my gosh, I'm in the right place. The more resistance we have about something, it's actually a sign that that's what indeed we need to be moving toward. So when we feel called to do something if we feel like there's something out there that feels like a beautiful dream or a goal for us, and the inner critic is totally fired up, that's an excellent sign that's exactly where you should be. Using the inner critic to point you to where the most fulfillment is, because it's going to be the loudest when you're there. I think of the inner critic having different personality types, different styles or different tones. And if you think of a continuum, on the far left, the inner critic for some people might show up as what I call the mean girl voice. So if you can think of the worst bully in a school and how mean she might be and how nasty and derogatory and name-calling, some of our inner critics can show up like that and really talk to us in a way that we would never talk to anybody else, really holding us back, being mean and hurting us in a way to really protect us, somehow dysfunctionally thinking, if I tell you you're this, I can keep you safe. When the inner critic shows up and it's really mean, it's actually the easiest to spot. So for some people, if you notice that your self-talk, the way your inner critic is showing up, is really get this bully essence to her, that's the mean girl voice. As we move more towards the middle of this continuum, what we can notice is that the inner critic isn't so mean. And instead, it sounds more like a overbearing, overprotective parent voice, slightly condescending, and not mean. So an example might be, you know, a child wants to go out to play, and the mom is like, you know what, I know you want to go out, but you really should put on a coat and a hat and mittens and just really just enough to make the kids feel like, why bother? I'm not even going to bother going out. It's just too much work. And so the inner critic can do something similar. So it just creates enough self-doubt that we think, gosh, I don't really think I'm ready yet. So it doesn't sound mean, but it puts a question in your mind. Gosh, maybe I'm really not ready to start my own business because maybe I should save a little bit more money, because what if I leave the security of my job and I try for this business and it just doesn't make a go of it and, you know, I lose my home. So it kind of creates this fear and this what if, and just enough doubt that we wait. Maybe I'll do it someday, but not today.
Is that also part of the risk cycle? Is that connected with that?
Not directly, no. The risk cycle the inner critic certainly shows up within the risk cycle, but this is more different styles of our inner critic. For some people, depending on what they're up to in their life, the inner critic can be really mean in one area, but just kind of this overprotective parent in another area. So it can be shifty. And I really talk to clients and the women that I work with and help them really understand this spectrum. There's one more part to it. So it can be really mean. It can kind of be in the middle and just be condescending and overprotective. Or it could show up as what I call the voice of logic. So some people have an inner critic that isn't mean at all. And it's not even that overprotective or condescending, but instead it uses pure fact and logic to keep us safe, to keep us exactly where we are. And often we see this around money. I know you want to start your own business, but there's only $1,000 in the account and you need $5,000 in order to have a website and business cards and all of these other things. So that's a fact. Can't start a business, don't have enough money. And so a lot of people will notice that their inner critic really uses facts to keep them exactly where they are. And I say there's nothing wrong with facts. Facts and information and logic is a beautiful part of how we can make decisions. But when our inner critic hijacks those facts in order to keep us where we are, that's what we got to be watching for. So instead of saying, gosh, I don't have the $5,000, that's when we can say, oh, I need $5,000. How can I be really creative and really resourceful? And what are the ideas I can come up with to get some extra money? Maybe I can find someone to barter with who I can exchange my awesome services for a new website. So that's when we can blow past that inner critic who's using facts to keep us small and really get innovative and full of ideas to move still towards that place of fulfillment, those dreams and goals that we really want. So the spectrum of resistance is really being super sleuthy about how our inner critic is showing up and calling it out. It's like shining a great big floodlight on all those little slippery corners where that inner critic wants to hang out.
I like the mean girl and the overprotective parent and the logic rationalization style. And as you were talking, Jack, thinking about shifting mean girl to nice girl, overprotective parent to empowering parent, and logic rationalization voice to trust and creativity.
You got it. The mean girl voice is a pretty nasty perspective. So reframing that and shifting that really opens things up. There's lightness there. There's more possibilities. We can breathe deeper when we can shift those things. And it really all comes down to being able to name it.
You and I and Glenna had a great chat about imposter syndrome and how it keeps us from living large. It keeps us constrained and constricted. And I know our listeners would love to hear about that. Jack, can you explain what imposter syndrome is and how this shows up and how people can work with it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the imposter syndrome is something that has been studied for a really, really long time. And what people find is that for some of us, despite our accomplishments, despite our own competence and our success in certain areas, we can still start to feel like we're actually just a fraud. And I notice this with a lot of women entrepreneurs that I work with. They start to question their value. They start to undermine themselves, even when they've created and achieved a lot of beautiful success in their lives in lots of different areas. They still feel like, gosh, maybe I'm pulling the wool over people's eyes. Maybe I'm somehow manipulating them into thinking I'm this talented or this gifted or have had this impact, but what if they find out the truth, that I'm not that great or that I'm not that smart or that I'm not that creative? And I think it's really our inner critic using the imposter syndrome kind of as a tactic to undermine us. So a lot of times the inner critic will say, I know you want to do that thing again, and maybe it worked the first time, but that was just luck. Or that was just because you worked really hard. Or that was just because someone gave you the leg up. Or that was just a coincidence. So it takes away the value and the worthiness and the talents and abilities that we really have, and it kind of undermines us in that way. It's really prevalent among the women that I work with, and so I really question that. I really call them out on that. I'm watching for that all the time when they're not taking full credit for their own abilities and their own accomplishments.
Do you feel, Jack, that maybe it's in certain generations, or that do you see any less of it, of the imposter syndrome, or is it all through every age?
It's hard to say, because I typically work with women in their 30s up to their 60s, and I see it equally among those generations. And I know even when I was in my 20s that I was starting to see glimpses of that. So it's likely that it starts young, that we start to question our own abilities and really don't take credit and really let that competence, really revel in our own competence. Instead, we question it. And I think it's learned behaviors and learned patterns, probably things that we've experienced early in life. And it kind of stays with us. And when it goes unchecked, it continues to grow.
Hmm. I had a question. When sometimes we find there's a lot of drama in our lives, and there's certain people, it seems like there's more drama more often. What can we do about that? And what does it mean? What meaning can we find in that?
Again, I think there are things that happen in our lives that are hardships and pain and loss and health issues. And a lot of those are really out of our control. But when I think about drama, I think of the stuff we're engaging with, the things that we're contributing to, the self-talk, the conflict that we perceive with other people. And a lot of times what can happen is our inner critic is wanting, especially when we perceive conflict, our inner critic can kind of get reactive to that and want to protect us. For some people, the drama can look like always being the martyr, you know, and then starting to be resentful of that. And the inner critic might say, you need to value this relationship before your own goals, before the things that are really important to you. So just over-accommodate and give and give and give. And then we can create this drama around that we feel really resentful about that, and we kind of engage in this sort of ickiness around it. sometimes the drama can look like, you know, where we're kind of fake quitting, where we get into these situations and that's it, I'm done, I'm out of here. And again, we are just sort of giving up, but not really. And I think a lot of times when that drama is unfolding or cycling or becoming a pattern, we really need to take a step back and look at, where is my inner critic showing up in this? How is my inner critic really contributing to this drama that I'm feeling or that keeps reoccurring in my life? What are the choices that I have? What can I do to take a step out of that and rise up out of that drama? Because our wise, intuitive self, she doesn't really have any time for drama. She is so compassionate and so collaborative that she doesn't really engage in a lot of that icky behavior and sort of that conflict that's ongoing with people that never really gets resolved. I'm wondering if that kind of helps Glenna a little bit.
Yeah, it helps to give a little clarity to that situation for sure.
What I'd love to do right now is take a little break, probably a minute break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Jack a little bit more about staying in our warm, safe, and comfortable zone.
Firefly Willows, LIVE, is committed to being an alternative voice and passionate about the art of transformative media, the new leading edge of communication in our highly connected media-rich world. That is why we acknowledge the animal and wildlife rescue organizations and volunteers who so generously gift their valuable time and energies to their communities. If you work with such an organization or know of one that you feel provides a service to their community that we can share, contact us at info@fireflywillows.com. As we enter the midpoint of the year, we'd like to again acknowledge the following groups for their work and efforts on behalf of the animals, wildlife, environment, and their communities. The Wildlife Center of Silicon Valley, Hidden Villa of Los Altos Hills, Underdog Railroad Rescue of Portland, Oregon, and Bright Haven Sanctuary of Petaluma. Thank you for all you do.
And we're back. We're back with Dr. Glenna and Jack McNeil. We're talking about things like spectrum of resistance and inner critic. And now we're moving on to talking about safe, warm comfort zones and how much we love to stay in them. Maybe that's not the best thing all the time. Would you like to comment on that, Jack?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a difference between the safe, warm comfort zone and living a life that's peaceful and full of ease and contentment. I think there's something different there that I wanted just to kind of separate out. When we have an idea of what would bring us more fulfillment, it's not always that huge, big, crazy goal like climbing Mount Everest. I mean, it can be that. And when we're going for things like that or quitting our job and starting our own business, things that are going to take a lot of energy and focus and support and time to really get there, they can have us sort of living in more of an adrenaline state, and it's towards getting that fulfillment that we really want to achieve. But fulfillment can also look like working less hours and taking the weekends off and not using our BlackBerry when we're with family. And they can be those small little things that actually bring us huge fulfillment and huge contentment and peace and simple living. I think what we need to watch out for is when our inner critic wants to keep us safe and small from any of that. So staying safe and living in a comfort zone can sometimes start to feel like we're settling, that we mm-hmm. are numbing out, or we're feeling maybe complacent, that there's a general lack of aliveness in how we're living our life day to day. It's when we start to ask, gosh, is there more to life than this? And the answer when we're asking that question is always yes. And it's not that it necessarily has to be big and audacious. It can be really, really simple. And sometimes those simple things can be just as hard to transition into and to say yes to. And so I think that I just wanted to make that the discernment between the two, that going towards our goals and dreams can look really big. It can also be really simple. And so that's different than staying kind of numbed out to all of it.
I like your example. As you were speaking, I was thinking about a guest I had on Healing Conversations a couple of days ago, Dr. Margaret Steller. She's also a naturopathic doctor. She's using a lot of her intuitive ability now in her work, but she used a great example. She talked about when she was working in a suburb of Chicago, she would drive by this particular campus, and when she would look at people, they would look great to her. The energy would look great to her. As you were speaking, it reminded me of that sense of numbness or tuning out or settling. So I imagine as we go about our daily life, when we interact with different people, we may even be able to pick that up on some level, especially with ourselves, but maybe with others in our lives.
I love that. In coaching, we often use the skill set called geography, where we get clients to kind of go into their body and describe a perspective based on the color and the temperature and how it feels and really connect people into their body. I think it's really important to check that out with ourselves. And if we were to describe how our life feels to us right now, what color would we give it? And what's the temperature? And what else is here? And how does my body feel like it wants to move? I think they're really beautiful and important questions to kind of get even deeper into whether we're living a really alive, fulfilled life or whether we're kind of settling into that displaced, kind of zoned out, numbed out area.
Glenn, I have a question for you.
Sure.
What color is your life?
Blue comes to mind first.
Blue, okay.
Cool comes to mind, not warm and not cold.
What was the third thing? There was the color, the temperature. There was another factor that we could look at.
Oh, yeah. What's the posture that you would, how would you hold your body? Like what posture would sort of describe how your life feels to you right now?
Glenna.
I got one leg up in a chair, kind of hugging my knees, so it's almost like if I feel crowded maybe. So maybe I need more space. What does that mean, Jack?
It could mean you need more space. It's just another way to kind of open up our thought process and to connect us in. Our body has so much wisdom, and it's a really fun way to explore different perspectives and different ways we feel about things.
So can I ask you guys, can I ask Jack, what color, what do you feel now?
I'm really into the color teal right now, and part of it is because it's now on my website, but I love it. It has depth, and it's rich. It reminds me of the ocean here in the Atlantic, and it feels secure to me. It feels really good, yeah.
And what temperature?
Which is slightly warm.
Okay.
Slightly warm, yeah. Cozy.
And I think I heard you shift your posture there.
Actually, my shoulders are back. I'm sitting in my chair, and my feet are firmly planted on the ground. So I'm at ease, but I'm also alert. I'm also aware.
And what about you?
I knew that was coming. I knew it. Well, the first thing that came to me, because I was totally intrigued by Jack's question, the color that came in for me is orange, a vibrant orange. The posture, now I'm not in this posture, but this is the posture that flashed across my consciousness or my being, was a ballerina. And the temperature is sunny, warm, when the heat of the sun is caressing your face.
What does a ballerina represent to you? Because I think poised. So what's it mean to you?
Whirling and twirling. I'm getting the pirouette. Achieved enough knowledge, and your body has achieved enough knowledge so that you can stand on your tippy toe and twirl around.
I love it.
Okay, that kind of ties into my next question. If we choose to ignore our soul purpose or our heart's passion, what, in your opinion, Jack, happens to us?
I think it's that numbing out. We're called to many different things in our life. You know, we might be called to relationships, we might be called to certain types of education or certain careers or certain ways to volunteer or give back. We might be called to write a book or to perform something or to create something. We have many different callings throughout our life, maybe to be a parent. And I think if we ignore, if our inner critic gets such a grip on us that we never pursue those callings, I think we can become really unhappy and feel very disconnected from ourselves, almost feel like we're not really sure of the meaning in our life or what our purpose is or to even be able to show up fully alive in the relationships that we're in and contribute in those relationships in the best way. If we can't even do it for ourselves, then it's hard to do for other people. And we get really into that place of lackluster and unhappiness. I think that's what happens when we ignore those callings. And most times they don't go away. They might quiet down, but I don't think they ever really go away. We can bury stuff on top of them and pretend they're not there, try to distract ourselves from them, but they're still there.
I think I agree. Mm-hmm. So would you say it's a good sign if I feel in this lifetime that I don't have enough time to get everything done that I want to get done?
Yeah, I mean, there's a doing part of us, but there's also a being part of us. And so we don't always get, that's an old saying, right? It's not about the end result, it's about the journey. And I think how we are being in our life as we are moving towards the things that are important to us at the time, even if we don't check them all off as complete, the way that we are living our life, the way our being in our life is as important as the completion of all of those things. Does that kind of resonate or make sense? Translating? Good.
Jack, I want to go back to the self-talk because I feel that our listeners would really benefit from your perspective on this. Let's get to the nuts and bolts. One question I have is self-talk, negative self-talk, does it happen all at once or do you start getting a feeling that leads you into the tunnel of negative self-talk? And let's say I was saying to myself, I don't have enough time to get stuff done. That's just it. God did not make enough time for me. So if you're feeling really pressed and that you don't have enough time, can you take us through how we could shift that to a better message?
Yeah, well, let's start with the tunnel one, whether negative self-talk happens all at once. I just want to make sure I really understand. I think that we have certain beliefs and ideas about things that we've held on to for a long time that may no longer be serving us. So it's really important when we start to hear some negative self-talk that we check in with, gosh, is that even true anymore? And really when we're saying very black and white statements, that can be a very good red flag to be curious and to dig deep and kind of pull back the layers a little bit and unpack that and see what's really there. And try to shift that into, it's not always about negative self-talk versus positive self-talk. What I think it's more about, what I think is maybe more helpful for people to think about is, what's the perspective I'm in right now? How am I actually seeing this situation? Because there's a gazillion other ways I could see it. So right now in this moment, if I'm wearing sunglasses and that's the perspective, what am I seeing through that lens? And is that really going to serve me? Is that serving me right now in this moment to think about it that way? And if it's not, I get to choose another way to look at that. I get to stand up, move around, and have another look from a different angle and find a more useful, more open, more idea-filled way to look at that same situation. So I think even when it comes to time, that kind of crosses over into that second question, that time is a really big factor for a lot of people. And our inner critic, again, might use that as fact and logic and rationalization that, gosh, you just don't have enough time. And here's why. Look at all the other things that you're saying yes to. So when it comes to time, when it comes to what we're identifying as our barriers to moving forward towards something that's important to us, to moving forward towards a dream or a goal that we have, and we're identifying something like time, we just have to really get curious about what are we saying yes to and what are we saying no to in our lives. So if I'm saying yes to all of these things, then that's right. I'm not leaving myself enough time to do this other thing that I actually think is even more important. Noticing what we're saying yes to, that means that we're having to say no to a bunch of other things. So coming back into that curiosity place, and when it comes to time, gosh, what can I say no to that would create more time? If I say no to this, then I can say yes to what I really want. So I think that yes-no is a very simple way to reframe time and to reframe priorities and to put yourself back in that position of empowerment and choice and being very intentional about what we're saying yes and no to. And I think that's when we can get out of that cycling around in the same area and seeing that same pattern repeat and actually pause enough, long enough to say, you know what, I have a choice here. These are some things that I can start to say no to, or these are some things I can actually start to say yes to.
Just before we go to break, I wanted to ask you, is it a step-by-step process? Because it's not usually a yes and a no in real life, at least in my life. And I find that maybe if you check in with your body or you check in with how you're feeling, you may be taking little steps towards saying those no's, which frees up more yes. And if you look at it day to day, you might not notice a difference, but maybe if you look at it week over week, maybe at the end of every week.
Well, we do a lot of foundational work around values and what our core values are and really naming them and describing them in detail. And when we can identify what we really value, what is most meaningful to us right now in our lives, then we can look to see if we're actually honoring those values or not. And when we can have those values right in front of us, it gets a lot more clear for us to decide whether we want to say yes to something or whether we want to say no. Am I going to be honoring this value that's so important to me if I say yes, or am I not? And so there's not always a quick fix. I think that it comes to that really foundational discovery work that I do with all of my clients to start to get a clear idea of what's important to them, and then to start, like you said, day by day, week by week, moving closer to being aligned with those things that are important by taking small actions, small movements. Sometimes they're big. Sometimes they're big, audacious things that my clients are ready to do, and they just needed that one final push and someone to champion them as they do that. But oftentimes it is. It's step by step and movement by movement to get more aligned with the things that they really, really care about.
Thank you, Jack. That makes a lot of sense. So, Glenna and Jack, can we go to a little bit of a break, and then we'll come back and dig into a real exercise?
Yes, we've added to our lineup of lively, thought-provoking shows. But don't forget our original Sunday morning lineup at 10:30 a.m. Join us for Healing Conversations with Mildred Lynn McDonald every first Sunday. Revolution with Heisey Lutmers every second Sunday. Convergence with John Carosella every third Sunday. And our popular on-air call-in show, the fourth Sunday of every month. We're excited. Give us a listen as we continue to create new and entertaining ways for you to shine your inner light. Join us at Firefly Willows, LIVE.
And we're back. All right, Jack, the floor is yours.
Okay. So one of the cool tools that I use to help women create a persona and more awareness around their inner critic is something that I call the biography of your saboteur. Another term or name for your inner critic is your inner saboteur, that thing that gets in your way all the time and self-sabotages you. So this is a really fun way to create separation, because for a lot of people, their inner critic has been driving the bus for a really long time. And what this exercise will do is it will help you create separation and space from that inner critic so that you have enough pause time to actually consider what action you want to take. And instead of taking direction from your inner critic, you can say, I hear you, inner critic, and I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to choose something different. I'm actually going to do the opposite of what you're saying, or I'm going to feel the opposite of what you want me to feel right now. So the first step, Glenna, is to think about some of the things that your inner critic, just kind of go into your mind right now, stay within your own thoughts, but just think about some of the things that your inner critic might say to you. And as you're thinking about those, does it strike you that your inner critic is a male or a female?
A female.
Is she a young female? Is she an old female?
She's a middle-aged female. Interesting. I never would have thought of that before.
And if you think about her description, if you let yourself kind of scan over her, what does she look like?
When I see it, I actually can see myself, but it's not a true version of myself.
Mm-hmm. So what's different about her? Is she wearing something different or standing different or have her hairstyle different?
Just standing different and sounding different.
What does she sound like?
Mean. Just more like mean girl. Not too strong, but just there. Something easily that, for me, I could hear that and look at that and know right away, okay, that's negative.
Mm-hmm.
It's really clear to me, okay, that's negative. That's not going to serve me.
What are some of her habits?
She creeps in when I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
And she speaks more when I'm tired. And I think you hit it before, is when I really want to accomplish something or see something happen, that's when it's the strongest. And I
mm-hmm.
thought that was really interesting that you said that.
Yes. So one of the ways she shows up or what something that triggers her is when you want to do something that's really important.
Exactly.
So tell me about what else triggers her. Maybe get even more specific with that.
Probably when there's something I want to do, but I'm tempted to stay in the comfort zone. Like, I'm tempted mm-hmm. myself, so I kind of want a reason to stay in this comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. What are some of her stories, then? What does she tell you in that moment?
Why would you be able to do that if other people can't do that? It's kind of like what you talked about again, is what makes you so great.
Yeah.
Do that.
Mm-hmm.
Who else do you know that's accomplishing that?
So she kind of challenges your competence, your abilities. What
exactly.
else does she tell you? What else does she believe?
I don't know. I can't think of anything.
What might be some of the meanest things that she might say to you, the most hurtful?
I don't know. There's not a lot of mean stuff going on there. I guess I don't either allow it now or it's not there. I don't know which it is.
What do you think she really values? Like, if she had the top three values and things that are really important to her, what do you think those might be?
I would say the safety zone, staying in the safety zone.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find another person or thing to blame.
Mm-hmm.
To mm-hmm. be the easier way out.
Yeah.
Such as time or something like that. I think that's it.
Do you think she has any secret fears?
For sure. Of not succeeding, of going after it and failing
mm-hmm.
and not succeeding.
Mm-hmm. What's her name? It might be a real name. It might be sort of the name that describes her essence or her character.
Okay. This is going to sound funny, but I wouldn't even give her a name.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even want to, for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even go there because I don't want to, I guess, give that inner critic even that much attention.
Yeah, so she's just kind of like the critic.
Exactly, that's it.
Yeah, great. If this critic was interviewed on national television,
mm-hmm.
what would she say, like why would she say that she's a crucial part of your life? Why does she think that you need her?
That's a tough one, Jack. So if she was on national television and she had to say why she had to be around and stick around,
because she really has a purpose here for you. She believes that she's there for a really important reason.
I would say she says, well, I got to keep Glenna alert, and I got to keep her awake, and I got to keep her eyes opened.
Gotcha. So now that we've kind of talked about her character, how do you think this will help you moving forward?
I think it's helped me just in this few minutes be aware of how little I hear that voice now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it tells me there's not that much of a voice, so it makes me feel even more empowered, I think, to go, you know what, I don't give that much attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me feel empowered.
That's awesome. Yeah, and I think that you've done, I know you a little bit, and I know that you've done so much work, and the work that you do helps you to be so aware of that. And so just checking in now and noticing that she doesn't have a hold on you, there's not a strong grip, that's a great affirmation for the work that you've done and that you're just really staying on top of it, that probably when you do notice it, you can still bypass her pretty quickly. So great work.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. That was a great, that was a fun exercise.
Probably if someone's listening and they liked the exercise, they can always re-listen to this episode and just press pause as Jack asks the questions.
Absolutely. And I have it in a PDF as well on my website. So certainly if anyone wants to email me or have a look on my website, they'll be able to find that, or I can point them in the right direction. They can just download it. And there's a few more questions there as well if they wanted to get really in-depth with it. But those are the most important questions.
Jack, can you share your website?
I can. It is jackmcneil.com, and it's J-A-C for Jack. And McNeil is M-C-N-E-I-L, jackmcneil.com.
We're going to take another short little break, and then when we come back, we're going to answer three questions that our listeners have sent in. And Jack, you're more than welcome to stay with us.
Oh, sure. I'd love to learn from you guys. Okay. That'd be great.
Okay. We shall be back.
As promised, we're always thinking of ways to bring you a fresh new perspective. Check out this lineup of our newest shows. The Amethyst Oracle, Divination with a Queer Twist, featuring Firefly Willow's LIVE favorite, Heisey Lutmers, and his co-host, Charlie Harrington, on the second Tuesday evening each month. A Shamanic Life, hosted by John Carosella, on the first and third Tuesday evenings each month. The brand new Embracing Change, The Joy of a New Path, with career coach Ivan Teams and John Carosella, the fourth Tuesday evening of each month. What's Your Prescription for Balance? With Mildred Lynn McDonald and her co-host, Dr. Glenna Calder, the first Thursday afternoon each month. And Evolve, with Robin White Turtle Lisney, the third Thursday afternoon each month. We're excited. Give us a listen as we continue to create new and entertaining ways for you to shine your inner light. Join us at Firefly Willows, LIVE.
We're back again with Dr. Glenna and Jack McNeil. We're ready to do the You Ask, We Answered segment of the show. We have three questions from our listeners. And Glenna, would you like to tackle the first question?
Sure. I've got one from Kelly from New Glasgow, Nova Scotia. And the question is, how do I quiet my inner voice so that I don't hear it?
We should pass that one to Jack.
Oh, excellent.
So, great. I'd love to answer this. And my instinct is to say, let's not try to quiet it or completely ignore it. I think that we really need to listen to it and then redirect. That over time, the less we listen to our inner critic and react to it or let it make decisions for us, it's just naturally going to kind of fade off into the background. Our inner critic will never go away. We can't do anything. It's a built-in mechanism to protect us, so it's never going to go away. And the more sophisticated and self-aware we become, oftentimes the more sophisticated and self-aware our inner critic becomes. So it does become less obvious, less like the mean girl and more into that logic. So we just really always need to stay a few steps ahead of it. And just noticing it and redirecting our attention to another place, to another part of us, to that wise, more intuitive, compassionate self will naturally let that voice kind of fade off into the background.
And Glenna, you always have wonderful things to say because you work so well with your patients. Anything to add to that?
First thing that came to my head was, as I do with my patients, is make sure they feel good. The better I feel, the more mental clarity I have. And to me, that means I can discern better which is my inner voice, which is my wise voice. And the more energy I have, then the more motivation I have to tackle things that are my passion and that I want to tackle. So it means then the inner critic has less of an opportunity to jump in there when I'm going after what I want.
Sleep is so important, and hormones. And when we're kind of feeling depleted, our inner critic is all over that. So I love that. That's great information and great perspective.
Second question is from Ann in Sunnyvale, California. When I was a child, I didn't have an inner critic. Why do we develop them?
Yeah, I think that we often absorb behaviors, patterns, limiting beliefs from our family of origin. And as we become an adult and we are exposed to more vulnerability and more criticism and more hardship, I think that our inner critic also is there. It grows with us and gets stronger and wants to keep us really safe and protected. So, you know, when we're children, we're pretty innocent and we're pretty open. And then as we have some negative experiences through our life, that inner critic starts to grow and develop to protect us from that happening again.
When I thought of this question, I thought, and as I always do, I take it from a health perspective, and I thought, as kids, we were often healthier. And then by the time we get to be teenagers, things start to change within our bodies, such as hormones. Food may, if we haven't been eating properly, food will start to accumulate toxic effects by that point if we're not eating good food. And so I thought, well, many people, they don't understand as a teenager that how they live, how they sleep, how they eat has an effect on how they think and how they feel. So it might take maybe a decade to figure out, okay, this is how I feel when I'm tired. This happens to me more, and I'm not as kind to people. I'm more irritable. I can't focus on my schoolwork as often. And so you start to kind of realize then the inner voice is attached to how I feel, or can be.
Yeah, we have one more question. Glenna, want to go
through this one? Yeah, I've got one that was sent in from Ryan from Calgary. And he said, how can I support my wise inner voice so I can hear it more clearly and more frequently? Mildred, do you want to start off with that one?
I would highly recommend a gift or reward to yourself every time you listen to your wise inner future voice.
Mm.
It would mean that you'd have to be very present and you'd have to be aware that you're listening to your voice. And to follow that up with some other form of reinforcement, it doesn't have to be in the physical world. It can be something spiritual or whatever jingles your bell. It's almost like rewiring your brain. On even a subconscious level, it's going to start becoming more advantageous to you, serving you more, using the positive statements than going over into that negative left field. So that's what I throw into the ring there.
So, Mildred, would you recommend as a reward a tutu?
Glenna, how did you know?
Or a tiara.
A tiara.
That was you're very perceptive.
I just picked that up.
Well, I guess what you could do is, really, if you wanted to take it a little step into the practical realm, is make a list of what those little rewards could be. Maybe it's 3 to 5 things. I'm a very big advocate of anticipating you're going to be in these situations and have your tickle trunk filled with stuff that you can use when it happens.
What about you, Jack?
I have a really cool visualization that I do with clients that takes them into this first experience of being with their wise future self kind of 20 years into the future. And it's a really gorgeous and powerful way to step out of all of the drama of our current situation, our lives, and to really see what's possible. And so with my clients, we do fun things like, what would it be like to dress like your future self? Or what piece of jewelry or what color clothing does she wear? And so you can really evoke that confidence and that wisdom and that intuition just by kind of dressing like her. I also do things like having my clients have daily meetings, you know, like a CEO with the future self. Let's sit down and let's talk about our business and what's important today and what do we have to remember today and what do we really want to honor or value in our business today? Just questions like that, or in our lives. I'm talking about business because I work with women entrepreneurs, but it's really important to check in with that wise future self, because what it is a very powerful perspective. And when you can step into that, like I said earlier, your wise future self has no time for drama or for the compare and despair or for staying small. She really just pushes past all of that into that beautiful place of fulfillment. So lots of different ways you can touch base with her, but or him, for this guy, and to make sure that it's a priority to cultivate that relationship. And fun things like, what would my future self eat today? Or what would she do? Or how would she spend the next hour? I think it's a good reframe question for people just to get back on track.
What about for you, Glenna?
For me, what I thought of when I read this question was, it made me think of the time that you, Mildred Lynn, asked me to picture where I would be in nature, what part of nature I would be in, and be the most comfortable speaking to somebody without a filter. So what part of nature supports me so that I don't need a filter? And for me, it was being close to the ocean. I could have a real one-on-one, soul-to-soul conversation when I'm by the ocean. That, to me, means supporting my inner voice, picturing myself, and what I've done is have pictures of the ocean around me in my house so that that brings me closer to my favorite part of nature.
Wow, that's really good. It's really good. I didn't realize I was so profound.
That little ballerina has a strong voice.
So we'd like to thank our three listeners who sent in their questions. So that's about it for us. We're almost out of time. And we would like to thank Dr. Glenna, our co-host, for What's Your Prescription for Balance? And Glenna, would you like to thank Jack?
I know I've learned a lot, and I know our listeners have gotten a lot of great tips. So thank you, Jack, for coming on the show with us.
My pleasure, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, guys. It was fun.
Jack, we're hoping that you'd entertain the idea of coming back again.
I'd love to come back, absolutely.
Can you share your website one more time with our listeners, please?
Yes, I would love for people to come find me at www.jackmcneil.com, and Jack is J-A-C. And McNeil is McNeil. On my website, one of the pages that you can link to is called Provisions, and I have a whole bunch of audio recordings similar to this one, and one of them has a great visualization that will help you to meet your future self if anybody wanted to go ahead and listen to that. And it's titled Your 2013 Business Vision, and it's actually a really powerful visualization, so people can check that out.
Thank you very much. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in this evening and for supporting us and sending us questions. We're going to leave everybody with a beautiful piece of music called The Creative Island. Enjoy.
A rock in a stream. We live in a painting. The island is shaped by what the wind says. Salt of the earth is the lake at the heart of the island, portrayed by the tune played on your heartstring. How to explain it is to feel it. You feel it, you can hear it, you need to be here to feel it.
Thank you for joining us. This program was brought to you by Firefly Willows LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next time on Firefly Willows LIVE for Revolution with Heisi Luthmers, Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m.